everyone sees us as like almost like this pretty cake, but it's untouchable. You want it, but you can't have it. It's like you're enticed and repulsed at the same manner. You know, it's the Kylie Jenner of it all, right? Where you want all of that, but you don't really want the true embodiment of what it means to be a Black woman. Mm-hmm. And so I want to show Black women that I see you. I love you. This is a love letter to all of us.
That was Bea Monet. She is a thriving young writer, director, and she's doing some great work. I hope you really pay attention to this podcast. If you are a man and you're listening, pay attention to it for your wife, your sister, your girlfriend, whomever, and then share it. Because this lesson today is about Black girl joy, and we all deserve it.
It's the greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us. Every champion that carry champions to be a champion. A champion that carry champion, that girl, you did it. Got a champion that carry champion, that carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with us.
Hey, everybody. Today on the pod, we have an award-winning writer, director, filmmaker, Bea Monet. She has made quite a name for herself in a space where there are not that many Black women. So kudos to her. Her latest film, Black Girls, is an exploration of intergenerational healing that traces the spectrum of advocacy among Black women from a variety of different angles. Excited for you to hear and learn more about Bea Monet and why her story, but more importantly, why this film, guys, this film, Black Girls, we should watch it. It is necessary watching because it is an educational film that we all need. Help us understand who we all are and what we can be. I hope you enjoy Bea Monet on Naked. Where I usually like to start is this beautiful origin story. And so when I read your story, a lot of your inspirations are my inspirations as well. So this is a beautiful thing. Growing up in Maryland, you had all of these visions and they were beautiful of what you wanted to do. How did you ultimately learn that you would be a storyteller?
So I grew up watching like Brandy, and loved Moesha and loved the fact. I feel like maybe Mara did this in a lot of ways, but I feel like a lot of Black women who watched Moesha wanted to be writers. And so seeing Brandy, seeing folks like Oprah, I think in tandem maybe did something to me. I think media is such a powerful medium. And so I think from there, I was just like, ooh, this writing thing, how can I, you know, get into writing more. And so it was really beautiful that my dad believed in me and he's still like my biggest cheerleader. He was like, why don't you also think about photography? So he bought me a little film camera that I still have today. And, you know, it was in the black and white, the darkroom, you know, exposing photos. So I think seeing those folks, taking photography classes, taking also documentary and journalism classes in high school was very instrumental in me wanting to become a filmmaker. And I had the beautiful experience of studying abroad, which I don't think always Black students can do, and was on scholarship, and that was able to happen. And I think when I went to Italy and got exposed to Italian cinema, that just like blew my mind all the way up. And I was just like, wow, I could do this film thing, maybe not journalism, but I think film opens me up a little bit. So my parents thought that I was crazy. You know, I can say that now because, you know, they were definitely not supportive at first. They're like, you want to be a starving artist? You literally went to one of the best schools just to be a starving artist. How does this make sense? But it all worked out, I think, right? Yeah. And so got into NYU. That was a challenging experience. I was one of the only Black American students and then woman at that. But I think starting my experience there, creating the first film about Sarah Bartman, Hottentot Venus, who was paraded around Europe. That was my first film that I did there. I think I was making a statement that I do want to make stories about Black women and our stories and just showing our full humanity and our interior world. So,
What you said about Mara is really interesting. I've been a fan of Mara. I just recently had the opportunity to meet her probably a month ago, but, you know, stalk her on IG. She's friends with friends of mine. And And the way in which she's able to reach so many people at so many different stages of their lives is really, to me, very, it is a gift from God. It's very appropriate that you think about her. And one lady said to her, we were having a dinner, and the lady said, I'm glad that I don't know a world where there is no Mara. Everything that you've touched has really changed me as a Black woman and my experience as a Black woman. And I don't necessarily know if I ever looked at it that way until that moment, which is why I was so interested in talking to you, because she is a part of your DNA in terms of how you create. When you think of people who inspired you, who are they? Who really, truly, like, their work really touches you and inspires you to keep creating?
Well, Mara's definitely one. I think there is no girlfriends, right? There is no, what is it, Living Single, even though I know she didn't do Living Single, but just like thinking of the different shows, especially from the 90s that were so instrumental, I feel like, in Black women, Black people seeing ourselves, you know, Sister, Sister, you name it, all the movies that they did. You know, I feel like I love Twins, because Twins were such a thing, like, growing up, from like Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen to, you know, Tia and Tamara. Loved all of that. But I think also in terms of filmmakers, I have to also give it up for Spike Lee. Mm-hmm. Just the things that he's done, right? Like, mm-hmm. I love Four Little Girls. I love his documentary work also. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people always talk about, you know, his narrative work, but I think there's something very special about Four Little Girls or When the Levees Break, that I think was very instrumental in me almost like fusing documentary and narrative into my work. I love Dee Rees. She's another Black woman filmmaker. She did a song called Pariah.
I'm unaware. Who is she? Dee Rees?
Oh, she's a Black woman. Yeah, you have to watch her film, please.
Okay,
it's
I will.
Called Pariah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm so bummed. Okay, good. Okay, good. I'm like, how did I not? Okay, good. Go on.
John Singleton. I mean, a lot of Black folks have inspired me, right? Like, I love Boys in the Hood. I love what the messaging of that film, you know, yes, there are things that happen that are sad and that are tragic, but there's also that community aspect that I think is really instrumental in just... that I
don't
love.
Worry about
and
that.
I'm just
yeah,
like,
you're, oh, yeah, don't worry about that. Okay, we'll pick up here. Go back and tell me the last part of you, the one particular, I said, tell me about the different people who have influenced your work and what you like. And you've named a list, and you talked about the last thing you said, I think, when the notification came in, was the Boys in a Hood. And tell me about John Singleton and Boys in a Hood.
Come on, active listening, she said. Okay, maybe.
Scene.
Okay.
We're leaving all of this in.
But yes, I love John Singleton's work, right? I love what he was doing with Boys in the Hood, yeah, and the messaging that he had in his film, or in his films. Love also Higher Learning, one of my favorite films. I think there are a lot of filmmakers who just only did like one film in the 90s. And that's really troubling to me,
yeah,
because I think coming up at a time where it wasn't a lot of pioneers. Yeah. So I love also Julie Dash, who did Daughters of the Dust. Also Cheryl Denier, who did a great film called Watermelon Woman.
Watermelon Woman. Me, listen, you have you need to create, which you may have already done, a list, uh-huh, of films that are necessary for us as Black girls to watch. Because I think that the reason why this is so important, and even watching the opening of your film, Black Girls, it was so, it felt very intimate, but for the first time in a long time, there was, my senses were moving, meaning eye, sight, sound, smell. I want to feel every bit of this experience of this Black girl. And then cut to my boo, Alice and Felix. And I'm all like, wait, there's so much depth and character here. And you're so, and I mean, I don't want to just say this in a way that's dismissive, but you're at such a young age, you have such a grasp on what you see it to be. And as a Black girl, I want you to tell me about this film and why you had to make it one of your latest projects, because before you have a history. Like I said, we've seen you do so much work. You worked with Tarana, who I love. You've done some other, I mean, everybody that I love has, you have touched them in some form or fashion in terms of the Black women that I look up to, the Black women who are pioneering, you as a trailblazer pioneering. And I think it's important for us to understand, when you put this film together, what were you trying to give us as a gift as a Black girl?
I've never had someone articulate all that to me in that way. Mm-hmm. So try not to get emotional.
Please get emotional, because this is where you need to. We need to. And that's what you were able to give us, the emotion that sometimes we don't want to show or share.
It's yin and yang, right? For me, you know, I had the opportunity to go to an HBCU. I went to Spelman, and from going there, I think it really was almost like this aha moment of there's so much diversity within our community. We're not monolithic. We all come in different shapes, sizes, experiences, stories. And I think I always kind of use that as a blueprint to say, how can I empathetically show the dope women that I know? We all go through different things, but I think that sometimes there are similarities of like, oh, I'm not going through that right now, but that maybe the next chapter of my journey. And oh, this woman is like showing a whole representation of what it means to go through healing. You know, I think I was on my healing journey going through Black girls, shedding all the dead weight, right? Like not people pleasing, doing shadow work. I know that people don't always like that word if you're Christian, right? But it's just meaning like going to the ends of yourself and trying to find the rainbow again. And I think I wanted to show Black women that there is a rainbow, even though you may go through a lot of stuff. And I don't know if I can curse on this.
You can. You can. Okay. You can.
We go through a lot of shit, right?
We go through a lot of shit.
A lot of shit that nobody knows about.
Yeah.
Trendsetters. I feel like it's the thing of everyone sees us as like almost like this pretty cake, right? But it's untouchable. You want it, but you can't have it. It's like you're enticed and repulsed at the same manner. You know, it's the Kylie Jenner of it all, right? Where you want our lips, you want our ass, you want all of that, but you don't really want the true embodiment of what it means to be a Black woman. And so I want to show Black women that I see you. I love you. This is a love letter to all of us. I know there are a lot of stories that we couldn't necessarily put in because, you know, films are finite and you can only tell them within a limited time and scope. But I hope that people get a little bit of the gloriness that I see of what it is to be a Black woman or a Black girl. Was just trying to figure out some stuff, you know, like we're dropping in the middle of some of these women's journey and they show us what it is to navigate. And I think that that's important because my work has always centered us. And I'm just so tired of showing or seeing trauma. I didn't want to show baby mama trauma. I want to show, how do you fight through? How are you? I don't want to show victims. I want to show victors. And so I think that's always been in the fabric of my work and it will continue to be so. Yeah.
The vision of watching Girlfriends and seeing yourself and Moesha and Oprah and seeing ourselves, and then the, not the 2.0, but the latest iteration. And I was having this conversation with so many of my peers and my colleagues. What I admire is your ability to take our narrative and make it our narrative and share it sans the trauma, right? Because we all know we have it.
Right.
But when you think of Black Girl Joy, what does that look like to you?
Ooh, I love this. You asked the best questions. It's like you've been doing this or something.
Once or twice. I did it last week and then today. And then
working. I can tell. Like, whatever.
I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep doing it.
Oh, man. No, I get, like I said, you're so great.
Thank you.
But I think it's so layered, right? It's self-acceptance. I think this world is telling us so many times that you can't show up in your full humanity as you are, as you present, whether you wear extensions, you wear braids, you wear wigs, you wear, you know, eyelash extensions, you wear whatever. You know what I mean? I just want Black women to show up as who you want to be and do that to the nth degree. Don't let anyone stop you. Don't let anyone tell you who you can't be. I think this world wants us to hate ourselves. And I'm saying, do not do that. Do not succumb to that reality. There's so many things in this world through media. Like, your popular page could really literally be telling you that you are wrong. And as you said, you are wrong. And I'm saying, no, be the quirky, funny, big-hearted person that you are. However you show up, do that. And if there are people who don't like it, respectfully, disrespectfully, F y'all. Like,
whether you want in or you want out. Yeah. But it's hard to arrive there because, to your point, society will say to you, Carrie, your heels are too high for work and your skirts are too short. But I'm comfortable. That's on you if you're distracted. I feel comfortable, but it takes a while to arrive at that point. And you have been able, even talking about your experience at NYU, that was tough for you. And was it tough because you felt like you couldn't bring your full self? Was it tough because everything that you believed that was right was considered wrong?
I mean, I think it was just because I was also, at the time, one of the youngest people in my class. I also am very Black in my identity, in terms of, like, I went literally to an HBCU where we are indoctrinated to love ourselves. So being at a place, you know what I mean, that is saying you are the best of the best, and then literally to be met with, why are you telling a story about this woman? You're a racist. Like one of my classmates thought that I was racist because I literally wanted to tell a story about what happened to a Black woman, unfortunately, in history. They literally took this woman from South Africa and paraded her around, treated her horribly, didn't pay her, you know, examine her body because they thought she was a freak show. So I'm just showing what happened in reality. And what I wanted to do, which I don't know if I accomplished in the film, but again, that's why you're supposed to try it out in art school, is that, do we know if she escapes or does she not escape? And does another Black woman see her and sees what's going on and says, I got to come to the aid of my sister? And so that's what I was trying to express. It's hard to do that with no dialogue, right? But it taught me the exercise of at least trying out things. And I think Black women should be able to try. You know, we should be able to fail at things and not be punished. A lot of people shouldn't still be in jail for weed, right? Like, they may have.
Yeah. The boys on the block,
you know,
they let them free them. Yes. Yes. I mean, come on. You ain't got to tell me. I'm like, if I could start it all, they would be free. Free the men for doing the work. God's work. Hey, everybody. I appreciate you for being patient, but we have to take a quick break. Fast forward through the commercials if you'd like, but we'll be right back. Thank you for listening to Naked. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. A champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Get naked with it. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion. A champion and carry champion. Hey, girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment. Get naked with it. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Naked. Today's guest is B. Monet, and she's given us some jewelry, gems, as the kids call it. Hope you enjoy. I love what you just said. Black women should be allowed to fail and try things and not be punished for that. Yes. Even though society will try to tell us we should be punished for that. And your film is healing. I also want to go a little further with that idea. When you picked your subject matters for the film, what was the common denominator between all of the women you highlight in Black Girls?
Well, I would love to say that I'm a genius, but I'm not.
Okay.
You know, I have a lot of help. You know, amazing producers. And
okay.
Also,
share the wealth.
I can't say that it was all me.
I would say it's all you. You're so smart. Thanks for picking all the girls. Okay, no kidding.
Yeah, like everything was up here. But also, no tea, no shade. But a part of my process is having pre-interviews, and so interview people kind of before the process just to see, are we going to gel together? Do you make sense for this story? Maybe you don't. Maybe we need to do like one of the women that we ended up documenting. She didn't ultimately end up in the film, but I think a documentary on her alone should happen. You know, you never know. I think you kind of have to be okay with this kind of Tetris situation where it's like you're trying to figure out puzzle piece together who would be right. And also, what I was looking for, to your point around like intentionality, is who could like emote on camera? Who doesn't have a problem with like expressing themselves? Because nobody's trying to see nobody lifeless on camera. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, they can have a problem being transparent around the stuff they've gone through, or, you know, how much are they going to allow us into their house? So, and house meaning not just like their physical house, but like who they are, how much are they going to show? And so I'm always curious with like documentary film, how much are they actually going to show us? Because if they're going to be guarded, it's not going to work in documentary. It'll show. And then you'll feel it, you'll hear it, and we can't do that. So
can't you, Jew? Sorry.
Yes.
It's interesting that you say that. And I think of Allison as quiet. Allison Felix, one of the first one to be featured in Black Girls. I think of her as quiet. I think of her as a silent warrior.
Yeah.
I think that, and I've had the opportunity to interview her and know her for a very long time. So for me, if I was doing this, I would have, upon initial thought, I would have been like, can she tell the story? But she tells it so perfectly because she draws you in and she makes you want to listen because she does speak like this, because she does have this tone. So if you are going to pay attention to what I'm saying, then you have to pay attention to what I'm saying, you know? But I'm like, this is genius. It was genius. Whoever, it's genius. Everyone takes credit. It's genius. And I ask you this. When you think about all the films that you've done and the projects that you've worked on, is there one that you love more, or you love them all? Or is there you know what I mean? Because I have some interviews and I'm like, well, I murdered that. That was amazing. Or I'm like, oh, that sucked. I could do better next time. I could be more prepared.
Right.
But the end goal is I did feel a connection when I am talking. And that's what I hope to do. With all of your films, is there one that you love the most or love the least? And you can be honest, because when you started out, I'm sure you weren't doing exactly what you envisioned.
Right. And sometimes sometimes you're like, am I getting closer to the thing? You know, it's like, no. Do you feel like that? Like,
yes.
Like, want to be?
No, like, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But what you gave me was liberation. And you said that I have the ability to fail and try again and not be judged. And for whatever reason, we feel like we should be judged. Or we accept this judgment.
Well, there's a lot of, as much as I love being Black, right? There's also a lot of, sometimes we can treat each other very hard, like we're very harsh towards each other. There's a mishandling sometimes, and there's a roughness. And I think I'm very interested in softness. I'm very interested in care. and tenderness, and not just because I'm a woman, but I do think that we do need tenderness, whether you show up as male, yes, female, non-binary. Yes. I do think that we need that. So I think even going back to your question around like favoritism, it's hard to say because there is, right, a favorite project, but it doesn't mean that I still don't give my all to every project that I,
sure,
you know, have. I think for me, Queen, my short film that I hope to make as a feature film one day, is still like my little engine that could, you know, before my grandmother passed, you know, she gave me a couple $1,000s to like make this film. I had to go on Indiegogo and really hustle for that money. And I think that there's something about, I guess, me being in this industry where I hope that it gets easier, but I think because of how I present, it's still, people are still, I think, surprised at like a Black woman leading and being the captain of the ship. So I still kind of like revisit, like, you're still a hustler. You're still, you know, a rapper with the camera, and you got to mm-hmm. still kind of like push your mixtape, which is my mm-hmm. films, out here. So I think Queen just always like reminds me to like, wow, I really had the audacity to have all these extras and like direct them and like have almost like the behind the scenes of it was crazy. Elle Varner was in it. And she like literally was in my film, and I literally just hit her up on Twitter or X now. And mm-hmm.
it's forever Twitter, but go ahead. I was like, who's calling this X? I go, but I hear you. Go ahead.
It's Twitter. I know. Okay. It's Twitter. Yeah. I'm like,
bro, I'm like, I'm fooling with that man. It is Twitter. Okay.
Go ahead. Wakanda for all the
exactly, exactly.
But no, I just, that is a part of just a project that's really near and dear to my heart. And I think it was really like the first time where I also felt creatively safe to make something. And I think sometimes I'm still in search of that. I think it's been hard in recent years to like find collaborators who don't come from a space of ego or insecurity. And so I think I'm still wanting sometimes to go back to Queen days where it felt like everybody was just down for the cause. And so I think that's why that project for me is still like just very special.
Yeah. I love that. I love Queen. You guys go check it out. Where can people see Queen?
You know, where can they see it?
you have a website, no, with your projects up there? No,
I need to do better. Okay, so it was a little engine that could. It was like on Aspire TV for a long time.
Okay,
I have to double check to see if it's still on Amazon, but it's just been out there for a while. I'm also wondering if I should just release it on my website so it's there, but because it's like a proof of concept, I'm like trying to navigate if I should just put it out there because, you know, people can sometimes take things.
Yeah, I guess. Exactly. I get it. You want your IP to be protected. Okay. Well, listen, I ask that because I'm going to ask you a series of Black girl questions because I think you are healing us one project at a time. You know what I mean? You are healing us one project at a time. But, you know, when you say we mishandle one another, What does soft look and feel like for a Black girl?
Oof. It looks like this, right? You seeing me seeing you, us not interrupting each other, like letting someone finish their thought and like really letting their words penetrate so it's not you're missing it, you know? It looks like maybe just sit this one out and just like let the person just get all the tears out, all the everything out, and just maybe just hold their hand, like just being there, you know, being a soft place to land, being a comforting place to land, maybe planning things for your friends where you see, okay, she's a single mom. She hasn't had maybe a day to herself and being like, you know what? She doesn't have a man right now, but I'm going to be her surrogate man in this moment. And I'm going to book her a spa day. I'm going to let her feel like the queen that she is. And I just wish that people would be a little bit more service-based, so service-oriented in the way that we treat ourselves. You know, I think a lot of people, especially in the dating space, want so badly to have a partner, but yet it's like we still wouldn't really know what to do with that partner because we haven't healed. So I think, like, and look, I say that with someone with a boyfriend, but, you know, I've learned a lot being with him of like, ooh, wow, we shouldn't have said that. That was really nasty. Like, that was not kind. So having the mirror, like being okay with being a mirror to someone and like admitting you're wrong, like saying, I effed up. The way that I said that or the way that I approached that, that wasn't cool. And I hope that you'll give me an opportunity to show up differently. I think these are all ways that we can just be a little kinder to each other. I think, you know, I get so tired of seeing, I think we all get tired of seeing the killings, the shootings, all of the negativity. But I think I want us to like almost make positivity like a thing that goes viral, like even how you collaborate with your collaborators, right? Like showing what does radical leadership look like? You know, what does paying people well look like? What does check-ins look like? You know, I think it's just all these things that,
the girl, it's the pay part got me. I'm all like, wait, hello? What does Black Girl Joy look like for you?
Oh, wow. I love traveling. I selfishly like want to always travel. I just want to meet all the Black people around the world, honestly, and make stories and like have the most beautiful experiences with humans because, you know, like my parents struggled, but they were able to help me out and let me go to Italy, right? Because as much as it was help from my school, was also them putting, sacrificing all of that. And so from their sacrifice, I feel like I've become more of like a global citizen and I've been able to see cultures that I probably would have never experienced if I didn't have that experience of going abroad. So that's definitely one. I think it feels like this therapy, like beautiful conversations with another Black woman or a good friend. I don't know, eating something good, like really good food. I can't get my ass off, like looking good, like dressing up. I love to dress up, being in the ocean and letting it kind of like wash over me and kind of having this baptism experience where I just feel like washed over by the water and kind of like even baths make me feel like that too, where I'm just like I'm just washing off, letting it go. And like candles, love a good candle and perfume.
Amen. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion, a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with. Every champion and carry champions to be a champion, a champion and carry champion. That girl, you did it. Got a champion and carry champion and carry champion. Greatest in sports and entertainment, connected with. Really, really quickly, the other Black girl experience that I want you to talk to me about, what does Black girls and sisterhood look like? And what I mean by that is that oftentimes we feel like there can only be one and there's a competition. And I want you to talk to me about what Black girls and sisterhood and partnership and connection, what does that look like?
Well, this one might be a deep cut because as much as I've gone to a historically Black college, all woman, all female, right?
Spelman, yeah.
Spelman all day. And also have kept, I mean, I'm very communal, right? I'm very tribal in my thinking. And I really want to see us be the best that we can be. But some Black women have really scarred me and Black women scarred me in ways that I think I'm still trying to process and heal from. Yeah. So I think Black sisterhood or Black woman sisterhood and leadership and coming together, you know, it looks like acknowledging the ways in which we've hurt each other. Mm. And if it makes sense to reconcile with that person, you know, I'll spare you the details, but there have been projects where I have hired Black women in leadership positions and they definitely, unfortunately, haven't always shown up as their best. And I take accountability too, but yeah. It's made me be like, as much as I want to work with my people, and that is, I'm, you know, Black all day, I'm yeah. still trying to figure out, can we not have a crabs in a barrel situation go on where I get in this project, I may be the director, but that doesn't mean that I still wouldn't do what you're doing or even lower than that, right? So I don't know how to answer this one because it's just tricky because I keep on feeling like every time I'm hiring or wanting to give someone a shot, it blows up in my face. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you what I'd like for it to look like. I'd like for it to look like truth and honesty and transparency and real love, like agape love, where it's like, I really am with you, not just in the good times, but the bad times, the ugly times, the times when you want to off yourself, the times when you're like, why am I here? All that. Seeing me through and seeing us through that. That's where I'm like, where are those women at? Where are those relationships? Because I feel like these days people don't have the capacity for realness. They just want low maintenance friends. And I'm not a low maintenance person. I'm a deep person and I'm looking to go to the ends of the earth for people. But I just don't find that sometimes Black women or some that I have met want to do that too. So I don't know.
That's real. No, that's real. I you said so many real things and I concur. I've had Black women that I love and look up to that I've been dying to meet or wanted to work with. And when I finally had the opportunity, I'm like, whoa, this is so disappointing. And do you think that how did we get here? Like, how, in your opinion, do we get to the point where we just don't want to embrace each other? Why we really want there to be just one? Why do we adhere to the white man's philosophy of, okay, that's my pet today? Because they rotate their pets out. They like who they like. And yet we feel like we have to fight to get one position. And if we work together, we could be so powerful. I'm saying that to myself as well, because I may have offended and treated people unfairly, unknowingly or knowingly.
Okay.
But when you arrive and you're aware and you're like, oh, we're all in this together, and it looks more beautiful that way.
No, but at least you can acknowledge that, right? Yeah. I'm not I'm always perfect because I'm not, you know. There are times when I can be short, right? I there are plenty of things I can still work on.
Thank but you.
I also, I know that there are a lot of good things too. And yeah. Trying to be a person who comes from abundance and not scarcity. And
wait, say that again. This is important, guys. Excuse me, everyone. It's important that you say that. You got to be politically correct these days. You have to. I wasn't trying not to be, but I will tell you the reality is that if we operate from abundance and there is more, we won't feel like we are holding on to the last bit of crumbs. We just won't feel as if that we can't share this gift because there's more to come. How do you see Black women? Give me an example of Black women working from abundance. Black girls yeah. working from abundance.
I mean, something that I do, and I guess I've been secretly wanting this from other people, is, and I'm trying to work on that, right, is I'll just send fellowships, grants, opportunities to people just because I'm just like, you are so dope and incredible and people need to know about you. And I know that because of classism, racism, all the isms, you may not be getting your shot. So I'm just going to send you this thing and hopefully somebody will see your greatness like I do. And so I just wish that we were coming from that space with everything, whether it's setting someone up on a date, fixing the little flyaway hair in your friend's hair. And you're like, mm-hmm. let me just help you in this moment, right? I mean, it's so many things of like, if I really want this person to show up as them, but the 2.0 version of themselves, I'm going to make sure that they're amazing mind, body, soul. So I'm going to check in also to be like, how are you really? You know, and no, I may not have the hour, but I'm going to give it to you because I sense that you need that hour. And I know that you would do hopefully that for me in return. And if you don't, I'll find it some other way. So I think it's like, we really have to stop this diciness of like, I have no friends, or, you know, I have my friends, I don't need new friends, I'm good, you know, or, you know, I have my little job, I'm not going to help this assistant who literally is asking me questions because maybe they want to be in the position that I want to be or that I'm in right now. So I think it's like, we have to find the inconvenience. I think we're so convenience to everything. You know, we can go on our phones and get food. We can go on Hinge or whatever. We can do anything we want, right? But I still think we're lacking that intentionality. And so I think if we add more intentionality and we're okay with being inconvenienced, man.
It's okay to be inconvenienced. Just a little bit. Let's just take a little bit of that. Just a little.
Yeah. I mean, real quick, like last night I was out. My friends are on the show Martha's Vineyard on Bravo. Mm-hmm. They had a after party. I'm going. My friend drives me around to the train station. This homeless man is asking me, am I coming downstairs? I'm coming downstairs. But a lot of people may see the homeless person and may say, I'm not going to speak to you. Just because you black like I am, I'm not going to speak to you. I try to come from a non-judgmental space. And I listen to this man. And that's what I'm talking about of like, I could have just brushed him off. I could have been dismissive. And I get it. Safety is a thing. But I guess because I'm also like a person of faith, I also realize that God covers me, and that extends to everyone who wants to, you know, be in his will, right? And that I'm okay, you know, and what is it for me to just have a conversation where I learned that he's been, you know, to Riker 6 times. Mm. And I told him, please don't make like no more. Let it stop at 6. And I don't know, in this moment, I saw another human. And I just think that if we just saw each other a little bit more, took our headphones off, looked people in the eye, show, you know, like just regular stuff. I just, who knows where we could be? Because I just feel like COVID has really messed us up, you know, and we're not the same. New York is not the same. Nowhere is the same. But I think we all deep down want connection so bad, but we're...
That's all we want. That's all we want. Yeah.
That's all we want, but we won't do it. We won't do the things to get there because we're like...
We won't be inconvenienced to have that connection.
Okay. Yeah. We have to be in our bubble. In our little Calabasas bubble. Our little, you know...
You said a lot of things that are true, and some things very convicting of me. You're like, I got time. Like you with the guy, I would have the, and I don't want to, I got my friends. You, thank you. Cause that was just convicting of me when I, and I'm like, these are the things that we need to be reminded of in our everyday hustle as we try to go. And if we, and we often say black girl magic, black girl joy, black experience, sisterhood, what I do believe we do. As black women, what you have done as a black woman with your work is that we do center ourselves and our experience. We very rarely, at least I attract likeness. I try to find people who center black women because we aren't. And people roll their eyes and they don't want to hear about it and they don't want to hear about this and that. But I am wholly dedicated to centering black women in everything that I do. I will always talk from a black woman's experience because my experience is not yours, but I want to bring you into my world because my world matters. And I love Toni Morrison. when the journalist said to her, remember, you know, the famous clip, well, will you ever consider focusing on the mainstream? And she said, that is so incredibly centered of you. This is my mainstream. And I'm like, tell them, Tony, because we matter. And you have been able to do that. And I'm more than honored that you had the time to talk to me today on the podcast. And when I tell you, I don't know if you feel it because we do live in a world of I haven't done it yet, but you are doing it currently. And I hope you enjoy the journey of centering us and telling our stories from a soft and healing place so that the greater good can be done for all of us. And there's just so much more for you. I am just so excited. If I was an actress, I'd be like, put me in your films, girl. I don't believe in those. Girl, I can't. Girl, you would get me on set and be like, this is the black girl I said I don't like. Because she'd be in there like, what? I know the lines, I missed them. Give them to me again.
And in a graceful way, I say, we're going to get you together. We're going
to get you all together. I want to document the process. I want to follow your steps. You are truly black girl joy for me. You really are. For me. Right now, in this moment, I don't believe that any of my interviews are by accident, and I needed to hear that. So thank you.
No, look, this is one of my favorite interviews, and I'm serious when I say thank you for allowing me to show up as me, you know, and like giving your hosts, I mean, your interviewees the opportunity to just like glean in. I mean, you have such a way with words and just your research.
I was like, it says here, but you know, sometimes it can be wrong.
I don't know. Get to the meat of things. Like, it makes the person want to emote, want to like really share more. Not the like that. What is it? The coded, curated perspective. Like, you make me want to like share my story, and I don't always feel like that with interviews, and I don't feel like I can. So I just appreciate you creating that space, carving out that universe for us to be seen. So
for us to be seen and to be heard. Thank you for doing the same. We're doing the work. I'm going to try to maybe talk to a homeless man in the subway. I'm not ready for that just yet. I just moved here 5 months ago, B. So I can't. Okay. I can't say that I have that vision for me yet. Exactly. Everyone tells me they get smacked by homeless people. Everyone's like, I got smacked. The girl comes to my house the other day. She's like, girl, this homeless man pushed me down. I'm like, dang, if I hear one more of these stories.
Dang.
You made me feel a little more safe. You talked, you guys are friends. You saw a human. Okay. I don't know. You the first of its kind since I've lived here. The other stories are people getting slapped and pushed. And I'm like, okay. Okay. I just keeping it real with you, B. I don't want to get slapped.
I know. I don't want you to get slapped. No.
I don't want to get slapped. Yeah,
I don't want you, because then you're going to be like, I'm going to have to elbow a hoe.
I was just like, she told me to come down here and say hi. And I did.
And look what happened. This is B's fault. She did this. This is B. Monet's fault, right?
She told me to come and say hi to the whole, and then we said, I know. And by the way, all jokes aside, I felt like that was honestly a beautiful, beautiful extension of your generosity of spirit. And so I think that if it feels right, you should do that. That was beautiful.
And I should say that, and I'm glad that you said that too, because I don't want anyone to feel unsafe. You know, it was also really disparaging to me that a black woman told me that she feels like she always has to look amazing because in the event that something happens to her, she still wants someone to have enough empathy or compassion to like save her. And so when I've heard things like this, it's just like, I don't want black women to put ourselves in even more danger, right? Because, you know, that's a lot being in these cities and how you present, people may really, you know, be on you. And so generosity, but carefulness, you know,
sure.
Like I'm not.
Discernment. Yeah. Discernment. Yeah.
Flash. I don't
know. I don't. And neither do I, you know, because I kind of like the city and neither do I. I want to.
Right.
just, you know, I have a few plans, you know, I just, when I say that in my joking way, my realtor said, he said, when I first moved here, I said, should I start taking the train? He was like, well, I only got slapped once and I've been living here 50 years. And I was like, just once. Now you said to a girl who's from California, and you're in your own car the whole time and you're safe and you're on your own. He's like, just once. He was like, but you need it. And true enough, not you don't need the slap, but I need the grit of the city. California can be so stale and sterile, right? Like it can be very Hollywood, as you know. I think everyone who's born and raised in LA is in Hollywood, though, but that's my thing. But this city, the beauty of this city, its character really is necessary to add texture to your life. It really is. So what you did was beautiful. And as we joke, because you know I'm a joke about this forever. I'm like, B is up here talking. B money talking to the homeless people, and so should we. Okay. Why do you think she's so good at what she does? She's taking in the city.
Literally at 3 a.m. She's using those documentary skills. She's going,
Yes. Yes.
Look,
this next one's gonna be special.
I might get a big chance.
B Monet on Naked, completely naked, and also honoring us just with so much knowledge. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, and look, all the best to you.
All jokes aside, seriously, when I moved here, I was told not to be on the subway at a certain time. I think. And I think what we were laughing at and having fun with was the idea that, listen, use the subway with some discernment. It could be dangerous. I'm not going to say that it's not dangerous, but she had a beautiful experience. I'm just not ready to start talking to homeless people on the train. I don't have that yet. I'm new here. Give me a year under my belt. All right, back to the film. If you want to watch the film, there are several ways to do it. If you have Comcast Black Experience on the Xfinity channel definitely has Black Girls and a whole host of other Black films. They are driving creators and people who are seeking new content to that actual channel. I think it's a beautiful space for Black people to live and thrive and see themselves in various ways. So that's where you can catch Black Girls. But if you don't have Comcast, which is very feasible, download Xumo, X-U-M-O, and on Xumo, it's free. But to me, it is actually priceless because you're learning so much. So do that. Xumo, X1, and there are a couple of other places. Let me just make sure I have the other places where you can catch the film so you guys won't say that I didn't give you the heads up. Okay, here they are. Comcast Black Experience on Xfinity Channel or X1 or Xumo and Flex. Look at all these places where you guys can create. I don't want to hear y'all can't find no content. I want to hear no more about Tubi. Or y'all only want to watch Tubi films. Watch something that's going to uplift y'all. Okay? We'll be back next week.